As we begin our new year, we also begin our new Bible study. We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 1 and also a little bit at Psalm chapter 1. You know, every one of us enters into 2018 with hopes and dreams and a blank piece of paper that we want to fill well. I'm sure all of us want to fill this year with love. We would like this year to be filled with laughter. We would love it to be filled with happiness and even achievement. We all have hearts filled with hope. Hope for a great new year. And it's important to know there is a way. There is a way that we can cause our hope to transform into reality. There are biblical practices that make our hope become a reality. Henry Cloud says that the difference between hope and false hope is that real hope does things differently. Real hope has an action plan. Real hope has tangible moves and actual activities that will help turn that hope into a reality. So, Westbridge, I can think of no better place for us to begin than to study God's word for truth on how to live wisely. You know, I love to blow people's minds away. I used to do this all the time at the firehouse. People who don't know God blow their minds with action steps for life that come straight from the Bible and they never knew it, explaining why they need and should set boundaries in their lives, showing people what they own in their life and what they don't own and shouldn't own, showing them how husbands crave their wives' respect and how wives crave their husband's sacrificial love, even relating to them how children must have parameters set in their life to make them feel safe. All things that come straight from God's word, but many have never connected them before. Well, that's where we're headed in our study for the next many Saturday nights. And our base text is going to be a book of wisdom that was written by a God-empowered man. He was called the wisest man that had ever lived, and his wisdom came directly from God. He was the greatest king that Israel had ever known and has ever known, and his knowledge and understanding will really blow us away. His name was Solomon, and he lived around 950 years before Jesus entered onto the scene. Now, what's interesting about Solomon is that Solomon's father was basically a superhero. His father was King David, who started out as a shepherd boy, David, who slew Goliath with just a slingshot and some smooth stones. Well, David, the father, that shepherd boy, grew up, and he became a great king in Israel. And then he also became known as the man after God's own heart. And God labeled him that. And David, in all of his time as leading, wrote things down, things that he left behind, things that would inspire people and give them teaching, and especially for his son Solomon, who would lead after him. In fact, David's collection of songs that he wrote about God begin with this. He says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." He says, "They are like trees, trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." Right from the beginning of David's collection of his wisdom, his instruction, David tells us, and he tells the world, and he tells his son Solomon, how to live wisely. He's telling him how to make your hopes actually become realities. I find it very interesting that when it came time for Solomon grow up, David's son is now growing up, becomes the king, he shares his knowledge, and he writes down his wisdom. And Solomon begins his collection with this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, puts value and he puts honor on what his parents, or really our elders, teach us. The two authors, the father and the son, David and Solomon, are really speaking in perfect harmony with each other. Where King David is teaching us how to be healthy trees, Solomon begins by teaching us where healthy trees pull their nourishment from, where the roots of our life should draw our life skills and draw our truths from. So let's dive right in. The first point tonight from this passage is this. Draw nourishment from wise elders. Now, Solomon in this passage points to people's parents. He points to their parents, and rightfully so. But in our society, a lot of our parental figures come to us in different forms, don't they? Some of us have parental figures who are grandparents. Some have family friends who serve as surrogate parents. Some get our parent figure from teachers or even from pastors and others. If we are to grow our hope for a great new year into reality, then we need to nourish ourselves on instruction and correction of people who have lived the life we are longing to live. We are to look to them, not people who are not living what we want to live, or even people who are living the opposite of how we want to live. Solomon tells us that allowing God's wise elders to correct us and instruct us will bring us two things. He says it will crown you with grace, and it will be a chain of honor around your neck. Now, if you're reading your Bible very quickly over a cup of coffee, those could be very nice words that you dance past. But what do they mean? You see, crowning you with grace means something. Crowning you with grace means that you are basically living under a shade cloud, a beautiful shade cloud that gives you what you don't deserve. It offers you a protection that leaves you saying, man, this is too good for me. I don't deserve this, but I'm getting it, even though I don't deserve it. That is what we get when we take to heart the instruction and the advice of wise elders. And not just that. Solomon says that the reward is also a chain of honor around our necks when we listen to them. You know, in biblical times, a gold chain around the neck was uncommon. It was uncommon. You didn't see that all the time. When Joseph, in the end of the book of Genesis, when he is elevated by the Pharaoh, we are told that he received a gold chain around his neck. Daniel, in chapter 5 of his book, Daniel 5, verse 29, received a gold chain around his neck by the king, Belshazzar. You see, when people then saw someone walking down the street who had a gold chain around their neck, they would gasp in honor. Oh, wow. In fact, it's that gasp, that wow, that really defines what the word honor means. When you honor someone, it means you're in awe. Oh, you're surprised by them. Solomon is saying in this passage that when we live lives where we're nourished by truths and instructions and correction from godly people, wise elders, others are going to be wowed by our lives. And we will feel that we're living lives that are actually too good to be true. I was talking to one of my children when they were away at college. And they told me that one of their friends was having car trouble. Now, my kids are not terrific car mechanics like me. They're not experts in car repair like me. They haven't learned to use Scotch tape on electrical pieces like I have. But they do have a bit of car savvy. I got to say, my kids have a bit of car savvy. They picked it up from me kind of working in the driveway. You see, because anytime I do something that I feel is important that for them to know, I'll grab one of my kids and I'll say, hey, let me show you what I'm doing here. You need to know how to do this. And I'll explain to them in a little teachable moment. Well, back to the school story. My child is at school, and turns out there's a girl's car that is getting sporadic power, electrical power. And the lights are coming on, the lights are going off. So a whole group of kids standing around the car, scratching their head, college kids. And from out of nowhere, my kid says, hey, have you checked the battery to see if the terminals are corroded? And then my kid grabs tools out of their car and unloosens the connection, sees it's all corroded, cleans it up, puts it back together, tells them to hit the switch, and voila, the thing is fired up. And all the other kids standing around the car are standing there with their mouths open. Wow! How did you know that? Well, I'll answer that. They know it from Proverbs chapter 1. My child, listen when your father and your mother give you instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Gang, as we turn our hopes for 2018 into realities, we have to crave and we have to nourish ourselves on wisdom from people older than us and ahead of us who are living successful, overcoming, victorious Christian lives. If we want to avoid our life from corroding like those battery cables, if we want to avoid the power supply in our life from misconnecting, then we need to lay hold of some truths on how to fix it. And even better, how to avoid it completely. So the takeaway on the first point, how to apply the first point, would be this. Get your roots where they need to be. Get your roots where they need to be. If we are going to get nourished right, we need to plant ourselves in front of wise people. You know, this past week, we just got back, I watched 21 young people from here. I watched them find a way to pay for a ticket to get into a conference in Atlanta, Georgia. I watched 21 college and career students, some even high school students, found a way to pay for a hotel room to feed themselves on wisdom for 5 days. I watched this as this whole trip took place. Now, if you were to ask any one of those 21 young people what the payoff was for putting their feet in those waters, for planting themselves where they could get nourished by those wise elders, you would be astounded. Each one of those students would tell you how amazing it was, what it did for them. I know, because I debriefed with them. Each one was crowned with grace. Each one is wearing a chain of gold around their neck for having put the effort into getting themselves to where they needed to be. Gang, we need to plant our roots where we will get godly instruction and correction. Now, maybe for the rest of us, that means attendance at church, making it a priority to be here on Saturday nights. Maybe it means we need to get involved in a small group, somewhere where I can feel comfortable asking the questions that I really can't ask anywhere else. Maybe we need to make that a priority and plant our roots there. Maybe it means that we need to be strategic about the time we spend in our Bibles, getting into our Bible every day, no matter what, reading Christian books, getting Christian books, stuff that we have right out there on the hospitality table. Or maybe just changing the radio station from whatever you're at to Christian radio, just to feed, for the sole purpose of feeding. Remember, gang, the difference between hope and false hope is that real hope does things differently. Does things differently than it's done in the past. Real hope has an action plan. Real hope has tangible moves, things I'm going to do, and activities lined up that will turn your hope into reality. But Solomon continues in Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 10. He says this, "Now, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, 'Come and join us. Let us hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot.'" Solomon says, "My child, don't go along with them. Stay away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder." He finishes in 17 saying, "If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away from that." Well, gang, this whole section is really like the trunk of our life's tree. Remember David teaching us how to be a tree growing by the side of a river? Their trunk, this is where everything flows through. Everything flows through the trunk. The trunk is the sidewalk of your life's city. It is the river that you run in and swim in. And Solomon says, be very mindful that all the wisdom that you've sucked in through the roots, be very mindful that it will be challenged. It's going to be bombarded. Bombarded by people who are unwise. Not what we want to be living. Solomon says very emphatically that people will try to pull us away from making the best decisions. They will try to pull us away from doing smart moves that God has shown us. They say, "Come and join us. It's just for fun," he wrote. And their offer is really not limited to, "Hey, let's go rob someone or let's do evil to someone." No, the mighty current running through the trunk of our tree can include enticements that are very subtle. It doesn't have to be, "Come kill someone." It can merely be, "Feel this. Drink this. Smoke this. Go here. Play this. Listen to this." Gang, the trunk of our tree must be fed by the roots drawing nourishing instruction and correction from wise, godly elders. But then that wisdom, that discernment must flow through us. It must travel through the trunk of our lives like a river. Just collecting good stuff is not the end game. Just getting the good stuff is not the end. It has to permeate every part of us, through every part of our body. It must guide us. Those truths that we got from the wise must influence our actions. Point two is this. Let your actions be influenced by the wise and godly. Now, Solomon says this because he knows. He knows the dangerous influences in the world we live in. He knows that they are like a mighty river, an all-powerful current. He knows that's where we live. That current is so strong that it'll sweep you up, suck you into it, and carry you away at breakneck speed. And Solomon warns, that river is filled with every kind of dangerous debris imaginable. Giant logs, giant branches, sharp pieces of metal, and monstrous boulders. Well, gang, if we are to make our hopes for 2018 turn into realities, it will mean that we have to live dangerously close to that river. We can't get away from it. We have to live close to it while avoiding getting sucked into it. And if we do get sucked into it, then we need to call on God's powerful hand to help us get out of it. Solomon wrote in verse 10, "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them." In verse 17, he says, "If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away." Now, I happen to be very familiar with traps, only because we have a little problem that I live in kind of the country area, like most of us do, and because of the cars I have, mice love to get in these cars. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. I have had them everywhere. We don't really have them so much in the house because we got an attack cat. I encourage you to get one of those. Get a nasty barn cat and bring them in. But out for the cars, and the cars that have been sit for a long time, we have to set traps. And let me tell you, the only good mouse is dead mouse. And I know ASPCA is all over me now. They're probably coming. But I don't want have a heart traps. I don't want be nice traps. I want kill them traps. I want traps that smack. So I said, I actually catch so many mice, I wear my traps out. They actually don't work anymore, and I have to go buy new traps. So this past year, knowing we had a couple cars outside, I found these new ones, because the old ones kind of have passed away, and these are some amazingly gnarly traps. They even got ugly-looking teeth on them. And these traps, you put a little peanut butter in the center, and you snap them back, and you put it there in the car, and you just wait to see what happens, and you wait a couple days, and sure enough, if a mouse was foolish enough to get a little sniff of that peanut butter, if he was, you know, on the edge enough to try to get him some of that peanut butter, he's mine. And you will find him somewhere laying in the edge of the backyard where I dump all the mice. Gang, that's the way it is with us living on the edge of this river. We cannot be unwise. We cannot dabble. There's no bargaining when it comes to this. No bargaining. No considering it a little bit. If you do, that mousetrap will hit you so hard, it'll take you where you don't want it to go. Usually to the land of the lost. Gang, if we want our dreams for 2018 to become realities, and if we want the right nourishment for our lives flowing in and through the trunk of our life, it's gonna mean we have to do something. Remember, hope means you do something. False hope, you do nothing. The takeaway is this. It will require us to be honest. It will require us to be decisive. And it will require us to be brave. What do we mean about that? Well, if I'm going to take the nourishment that I'm getting through my roots from godly people, and I'm going to actually run it into my life and actually do these things and avoid that dangerous flow, I'm going to have to be honest in calling a bad place a bad place. Be honest. Call a bad place a bad place. I need to be honest in appraising when we are dabbling too close to that dangerous current pulling us away from God. Flee from temptation, we are told. We need to be honest in identifying what are the things that God gave me and what are the things that I am insisting that I keep in my life that God doesn't want in my life. We need to be honest about that. We also, after being honest, have to be decisive. When God gives us enlightenment, when God shows us something, go with it. Go with what God has shown you. When God shows you a way that you're supposed to walk, walk in it. When Mr. Robert was up here talking about, hey, night to shine, helping people to have a prom, those who are needy, go with it. Don't think about it. Do it. I'll be there. We'll have a good time, I guarantee it. I'll even tell you if I caught a mouse that day. It'll be great. I'll give you the whole story. If God gives us truth, believe it. If God has given us truth, we need to be decisive and believe it. If he says, I will take care of you, he will take care of you. If he tells you, change what you're doing, do it. When God tells us to do something, we need to do it. It's easy to have excuses to not do it, but decisive people do it. Gang, 2018 realities will and can come about, but they will come about from action. They will not come about from wishful thinking. They will not come about by simply longing for something. And all of that, being honest, being decisive, will require bravery. It is not easy to go against the current. We all know that. It is not easy to go against the current. There are some sitting here tonight who got blasted at home for coming. There are those who have to go through stuff just to be here on Saturday night. And they're brave enough to do it. It takes bravery, because it's not easy going against that current. And many times in your Christian walk, although you have brothers and sisters, and you have men's group and women's group, and Octane and Fuel, and you have all these things, there are many times when you will have to go it alone. Just you and Jesus Christ. There are going to be times that bravery calls you to do that. I can guarantee you'll be criticized, maybe ostracized. People don't like when we start moving away from them morally. They don't like that. They don't like when we move away from them by establishing a higher level of holiness. We don't say anything about their holiness, but just us living to a new level irks them. Darkness will hate the light. Lastly, Solomon points to one more thing. The fruit. What is it you're after? What is it you're growing? After all, he says this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 13. The bad talk, and they're saying, this is the fruit. They think of the great things they will get. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. And in verse 14, we'll share all the loot. Solomon here is talking about the fruit of those who are not following God. You and I seek a much different fruit. If we're trying to live as a tree on the at the side of the living water, as his father talked about, then we are going to want to get our nourishment from wise people, live that, all for the sake of bearing a different kind of fruit than Solomon mentions here. We want to grow fruit of love, as we talked about earlier. Fruit where this year is filled with joy. Fruit where this year gives me a peace of mind that I'm doing what God's called me to do. A patience for God to come through. When we want something to happen now, he has a different timeline. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all things we want to grow. We long for lives this year that are filled with victory. We would like to be victorious. We would like to be people who have power to accomplish our hopes and dreams. We want lives that are free from the destructive baggage. We want lives that are safe from deadly landmines. You see, gang, the life we're looking for is found inside a balance. If I can get two volunteers, Jimmy, can you come around, grab that end of the rope, Coach, you grab over there and grab that end of the rope, and hold it up high as you can, as tight as you can. What I want this rope, get the end there, buddy, just make it real tight. There you go. There you go. Pull that tight. Oh, real high. There you go. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Who's going to win this tug of war? Huh. Let's see. Okay, very good. This line represents a spectrum. This is a spectrum, okay? It's a spectrum that runs from the far left for you, the far left. And on the far left, what you have here are people who are too hard on themselves for the life they've lived. At the far end, down by where Jimmy's holding that thing, you have people who are too hard on themselves for the life they have lived. Even people who have found God's forgiveness and are still, they still condemn themselves for things they've done and things they're doing. They are haunted by the ghosts of their past. And they can't shake them. They can't shake it no matter how hard they try. And they live with a burden that God never intended them to have after they have been forgiven by him. But people stay at that far end of the spectrum. On this end of the spectrum, it's different. On this end of the spectrum, on the far right for you, there are people who we identify, they live kind of a careless life as a God follower. They live with a glibness when it comes to the danger of that powerful current of sin. And so they dabble in it. On one end of the spectrum, you have those paralyzed and condemned by their unholiness. And on the other hand, you have those who feel little to no conviction at all about how they live or whether they're grieving God's heart. The answer is a God-centered life. The answer is that we need to live right here, right in the middle of this spectrum. You can put that down, boys. Thank you so much. You see, a balance on that spectrum means that I have a remembrance. I remember. I know where I came from. I know what I did. I have a remembrance of my old life. I have a remembrance. I'm in the middle of the rope. I'm in the middle of the spectrum, but I remember where I came from. And you know what? I remember what God saved me from. But I also have a healthy fear of the currents that will shipwreck my life. And I also have a desire not to displease God. That puts me in the middle. So, God follower, if you intend to live a God-centered life, you have to know where you're at on the spectrum. For the God follower that's all the way on this side, condemning themselves, not able to forget their past, after God has forgiven you, you need to remember your forgiven past. When God has forgiven your past becomes a place of reference, something for reference purposes, not a place of residence. You don't live there. God took you out of there. Your past is important, but your past is not who you are. Not in Christ. He says the old has passed away, the new has come. So if you are a God follower who tends to move to that end of the spectrum, then you need to stop in 2018. You need to stop giving the power in your life to sin that doesn't even exist. God forgave it. It's gone. And you will find your hopes and dreams coming to fruition, and you'll find the reality as you move your efforts from condemning yourself to praising the God who washed you completely clean. That moves you to the center. If, however, you are residing on that side, the right side, well, then you need to have a reappraisal of who God is. We need to have a new appraisal of what holiness means. And we need to have a new appraisal of what Jesus meant when he said, "Be ye perfect." We need to let those things be our marching orders for 2018 to get to a center point where our lives are God-centered and running where he wants them to run. Friends, we have a whole new year in front of us. It's a blank sheet of paper. God wants to fill that page with life at its fullest. John 10:10, I come that they would have life and have it to the full. David, King David, told us how to grow our life trees, and his son Solomon seconds that, showing us what instruction we need to feed on. As the band and the worship leaders return, I encourage you to think about drawing your nourishment from wise elders. Meaning, get your roots where they need to be this year and do it all the time. Make it a priority. And when you have your roots where they need to be and you're pulling in godly instruction, you're pulling in godly correction, next, let your actions be influenced by what you're bringing in. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers. And it will mean, know for a fact, it will mean that when you're trying to be hope instead of false hope, the things you're going to have to do, those changes are going to mean you have to be honest. Put on the belt of truth first and be honest about what I'm dealing with, where I'm at, where I'm weak, what makes me strong, what does God want, what does God not want. Be honest about that and be decisive. If you don't have the answers, go back to the elders and get those to help, let them help you. And lastly, to be brave, to know that we are called to be champions for Christ. We don't want to be people who walk to the celestial city and slide in on our stomachs, barely making it, bruised and broken. Whew, I got here, but whew, I almost didn't make it. We want to ride in victorious on horses, saying, we did what we were called to do. We tried hard. We gave it all we had, and I lived a life trying to be wise, gaining all the instruction that the elders could give me. All that so we can produce a God-centered life, where we remember our past. It's important to remember where we came from. Every now and then, sit down, look back at your old life, but look at it saying, thank goodness he brought me out of that. Remember where you came from. Many slip back into it. So be careful that you do remember it and let it be a place of reference, but not a place of residence. And let it produce a God-centered life where, you know what? Yes, we have God's grace, getting what we don't deserve. All things are permissible, we're told, but not all things are profitable. We want to live lives that are profitable in 2018, getting us where God wants us to be, finding the hope, the love, the faith that God wants us to have. The power will come from God's Spirit, but we have our side of the yoke as well. We need to pull. False hope does nothing. If you're living with a hope and you're doing nothing, you probably have a false hope. Real hope pulls hard on its side of the yoke as God's Spirit pulls the other side. So let's begin 2018 with a strong partnership between us and God. Ask him to help you live wisely, and ask him to help you have your hopes, your dreams, for a life filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to have that become a reality. And help us to be trees that are planted by the waters that will live forever. Would you stand and worship with us as we talk to God and close out our night speaking to him? Now, Lord, I pray that as we head out, you would help us each to consider the words that we've heard from King Solomon and King David. Lord, we want to live lives where we are known as wise. We want to live lives that shine so that people, when they see us, would not see anything great that we've done, any cool instruction we've picked up, but that they would see lives that have followed you and found life to the full. That we're merely living the lives you've called us to live, and that is where we find function. That's where we find freedom. That's where we find peace, joy, and real hope. Lord, I do pray that you'd help each of us to take to heart what you're calling us to do, whatever it may be for each individual. Help 2018 to be different. Help it to be a year that we think differently than we did last year. A year that we act differently than we did last year. And a year that we hunger for you greater than we did last year. Lord, I pray that you would take our lives, make them what you want it to be. That each of us would lay our lives again on the altar and say, we're yours. We would choose you all over again. And we do that every single day of our lives. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.